gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Yet I show unto you a more excellent way. We've looked at 1 Corinthians 13 a little bit through the last few weeks, and a little bit here and there. But I want to observe some things this morning, some contrast between love and what's not love. And I know we live in a world that doesn't understand love. And much of the world doesn't have a proper concept of love. But the Lord wants us to have a proper concept of it. And so he's given us a lot about it. He's told us something of it in the scriptures. If you look in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, we call that the love chapter. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Now I want to notice the contrast in these scriptures. Because let's think about what these scriptures are telling us this morning. It says, we studied this. We studied charity suffereth long. And we studied and is kind. But it goes on with a little more. Because that it doesn't fully describe what the Lord wants us to understand. He says, charity suffereth long and is kind. And then he says, charity envieth not. So this is what it looks like. It's patient, it's kind, it's gentle, it loves people, it's always giving. I wrote on the board, love always gives. I want to tell you, when we begin to be takers, we're not having love. It might be lust, it might be greed, it might be whatever it is, but it's not love. But that's when we begin to be takers. Love always gives. It's something that, yes, we take care of ourselves and others too, don't we? We love them too. We love ourselves. We love everybody. That's what God puts in our life and our heart. And so he says, charity envieth not. There's an element in envy and looking at something someone else has that creates something in our hearts that's wicked and evil. And people begin to envy something someone else has or someone else, and they lose track of the whole thing. And folks, there's no way that we can have the level of benevolence and love and those kind of things if we allow that wicked root of envy in our life. You know that this morning? So the Lord didn't just put a few things out there. He gave us a picture. And he told us it's like this, not this. Okay? And so when we judge our lives, we're not looking at ourselves to be critical. We're looking at ourselves to be more like God. The scriptures tell us God is love. Well, what's that mean? In our best, we're going to be years and years comprehending. We're not ever going to understand everything of God, I don't believe. We're going to have capacity to grow until we get old and die. And so he says it's like this. It suffers long. It's patient and it's kind. It doesn't envy. And it doesn't vaunt itself. You know, what a contrast that is between lifting someone else up. You know, that's a giving. When we see someone else and we want them to prosper. Now, you know what? Love, and people don't understand this, in raising children many times. Folks, love takes care of things that need taken care of, doesn't it? It doesn't, but it takes care of it with an end in mind to bless and not to hurt. That's love, isn't it? And so it says, charity envieth not. It doesn't vaunt itself. It doesn't try to lift itself up to push someone else down. That's wicked, isn't it? It's the flesh. Is not puffed up. Okay, those things, he says, this is what it's not like. Doth not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't act in a way that Christians should not act. And somebody looks over there and says, and they claim to be a Christian. Have you ever heard that? You better believe you've heard it. Because the devil is really quick to point that out. He knows where he's got a foothold, and he knows where he can tell someone else, you see, that's not Christian. And so he does. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. I want to tell you, the more of God that you allow into your life and in your heart, the more you're going to care about others in a greater and greater way. I believe that. It's a beautiful picture to not be a selfish person. You know that this morning? Let's look at the whole picture and ask God, Lord, open my heart and mind to have a greater capacity to understand you. You know, that's what God did. He sent his son, didn't he? And not only did he send his son, but he reigns on this earth, on the just and on the unjust. And he gives and he gives and he gives, doesn't he? And so charity doth not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't act out in ways that Christians should not. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. It's not sitting on a knife edge waiting for somebody to surely knock them off the other side. Love doesn't do that. It's interested in that person. It's interested in the other person. Thinketh no evil, and it tries to think the best it can of people. Love does that, doesn't it? Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things. To the most extent possible, it tries to do that. Believeth all things, hopeth all things. When there isn't anything left to believe, we just hope. We hope the Lord's working there. Endureth all things. And so that gives us just a little picture of things that, folks, it comes, these evil things here wants to come into our heart. Did you know that? It wants lodging in your heart and mine. And the only protection that we really have against it is that we let God be in his fullness in our heart. And do you know, when we have God in our heart, we have something that's constantly flowing through us. You say, well, if you just give all the time, you won't have anything. I want to tell you what, the more love you give, the more you're going to have. And the more you serve God in a way that's legitimate and right. I'm not talking about taking food out of our children's mouths and giving it to somebody that's hungry. I'm talking about serving God in the right and proper way. And the more you give, the more you have. Now, you may not get rich doing that, but I want to tell you what, you'll always have plenty, and you'll have faith in your life. And you'll have a measure of God's Spirit and love and joy in your heart that can't be had in a selfish way. So I just want to paint a little picture here this morning that opens our heart and mind that this thing called love is really God. And it's really what God wants to be in our lives. And it's really a beautiful thing for us to have. We can't have it just by trying to do the works. Okay, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Let's get God in our hearts in a greater, deeper way that we can flow out to others. And then what are we giving? We're giving away what God puts in. And then he just keeps flowing. And folks, it needs to be a river in our life. It needs to be a river. When God starts blessing you, don't make it a pond. It will stink in a little while. Make it a river. Make it a river. When God starts blessing you, I want to tell you something. There's something about the river of life that is so refreshing in our lives, isn't it? And so this morning, I just want us to think about the contrast that God wants our lives to be. I was thinking about our, we've got a well. And I just want to thank the Lord this morning. We've had that well 26 years and we have never had a problem with it. It's never run out of water. It's never quit or anything in all these years. I thank the Lord for that. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes the power goes off. Sometimes I've shut the well down for some reason. I wanted to fix a faucet or something like that. And, you know, at those times, I found out that there's something very dangerous that can happen at that time. Because when that positive flow stops happening, we ran a line up to my mother-in-law's place. It's uphill, and it's several hundred feet. So she could water her plants and flowers and all that without costing her. You know, this morning, when that well shuts off, all that water starts coming back down. And those open faucets like that can form a siphon if they don't have an anti-siphon device on them that has a one-way valve. I want to tell you this morning, our life is like that. As long as we have within us the pressure of the love of God flowing, it's a flowing well, it's a flowing stream that the Lord wants to flow out of our life. And as long as that is pressured and working, do you know we're safe from things getting in our heart? But I want to tell you something. You let that water stop, and all of a sudden, and that pressure tank runs out of pressure. And I'll tell you, for days I've seen stuff coming out of our faucets where it sucked up dirt. I don't know how it all happened. There's a siphoning process that begins to happen in those kind of situations. So now I'm going to shut the well down. The first thing I do is go out and shut that faucet off, and any others, in fact, that's open. You know, this morning, what can happen is a siphoning begins to happen, and corruption and dirt and junk gets in there, and it's not safe to drink when that happens. You know, this morning, our life is like that. And it is God that provides the pressure, if you will, from within, the flow that feeds our lives and flows through us to other people's lives. It's a beautiful picture. And this morning, I would that every one of us would get a hold of that thing. Lord, teach me your ways. I don't want to just sit and fight against. Folks, when that pressure is not there, every contaminant out there wants to come back in. And it wants to flow into your well and contaminate it. And so this morning, it takes the Lord. And that's where we have to work. Lord, help me to have your power and your love flowing through my heart and my life. I say constantly, it is the grace of God. And I pray daily, Lord, I need your grace today. I need the power of the Lord today. Because, folks, if we don't have that, I want to tell you what's going to flow into our lives. Whatever's out there. Whatever's out there. Whatever we're hooked into. Whatever we've been trying to water and work with, the contaminants all around, it's just going to come right back in to us and defile us. And so we find all kinds of things that come into people's hearts, isn't there? Our work, folks, is to see that we allow the Lord to have that place in our life, that our life is pressurized. Is that point coming across? Our life is pressurized. There's a pressure there that's not so much it busts the pipes out, but it's there that things work, that the love of God flows through our life. That is when things begin to be right. That's when things begin to work. This morning, I want to look at 2 Peter, the first chapter, and look at some things maybe in a little different way than maybe we thought of them before. It speaks of verse 5, it says, well, I'll start at 4, 2 Peter 1 and 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We might be partakers of God's nature, of who he is, of his love this morning. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now listen to these things. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what he's telling us this morning? I thought we were supposed to be godly as soon as we got saved. Aren't we? We are, aren't we? There is a seed. There is a beginning in our life that God puts in there when we get saved. But I want to tell you, the Lord tells us, I want you to add some things to that. That little old start, I want it to turn into a tree. I want it to have fruit on it. I want it to develop. And so, you know, if we can see these things not as, ooh, I don't think I'm very patient. Let's see it for what it is. Lord, add to my life. Where does it come from? Does it come because we have tried so hard? I'll admit we put some effort into it. But I want to tell you something. It comes from God. Spend more time to try to get in touch with the Lord. And let Him be in our life, working through our veins, spiritually speaking. Working as that well of water, that river that flows from under the throne that Revelation speak of. And it comes down, and where does it flow? It flows up through us and out into the world, doesn't it? It flows. The grace of God does this morning. And so he says, I want you to add these things into your life. And so I want to encourage us this morning. Listen to what it says. And think of this illustration about being pressurized. Because the scripture we read in the 8th verse says, for if these things be in you and abound. In you and abound. That's more than, well, Lord, I got saved and I know somehow I love them. I think I do. He said, if these things be in you and abound. They make you, you're pressurized. You got something inside that's working. It's more than just fighting against. Folks, it's fighting for the Lord. It's fighting with the Lord in His battles, working, letting Him fight the battles against the enemy of souls. When one is discouraged, the Lord might want us to go help him out a little bit. That's called brotherly kindness, isn't it? And He says He wants us to add that to our life. And you know what? When we start, we lack so many things, don't we? Everything's little. It's just, we just started. But the song does say, it makes me love everybody, doesn't it? Add to that. Add to that love. Add to it. Pray God for it. Let your works be such that manifest it. And he says here, and you know, as always, I cannot speak of anything like this without adding. It starts in our home. We don't come to church and do something we don't do at home. Or do we? We sure shouldn't, should we? It starts in the home. We learn how to work with one another. And if we can do it well there, we can probably do it well anywhere. And so he says, if these things be in you and abound, if that pressure is in you from the Lord, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have some fruit. You're not going to be a barren tree. But he that lacketh these things, if the pressure isn't there, if there's nothing there, says he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, rather than let that happen, he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So give diligence. Give diligence that your life is one that is full of love. And folks, if we misstep, if we don't hit as well as we want to on patience or whatever it is, let's just be quick to say, I'm sorry. I really want to do it right. I want to tell you, God's not a God that's waiting to to point something out that'll keep us from being in heaven. He's trying to get us there. And so it takes honesty for that, doesn't it? We have to be willing. Lord, I need more of you. Lord, I need you to help me. So it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, this is one scripture I love. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. You see, the pressurized is going to be there. The pressure, the water pressure, the love pressure, whatever you want to call it, it's going to be there, isn't it, in our life. And he said, you'll never suck in those negative things. You'll never fall to that world that's out there if you'll add these things in your life. And he says, abounding in them. All right, is that okay? I want to read a little bit of what Clark said. I read more than one commentary, but Clark is one. He says, love, charity, add charity. He says, love to the whole human race, even to your persecutors. Love to God and the brethren they had, speaking of them. Love to all mankind must also have. True religion is neither selfish nor insulated. That's a big statement. True religion is neither selfish, I think we can all probably say that's true, nor insulated. Where the love of God is, bigotry cannot exist. Narrow, selfish people and people of a party who scarcely have any hope of the salvation of those who do not believe as they believe and who do not follow with them have scarcely any religion. Though in their own apprehension, none is truly so truly orthodox or religious as themselves. I think what Clark is saying there is we know that not everybody is on the right track. But folks, we pray for them, don't we? We want to help them. We want to reach out. I remember being taught they just aren't honest. There just isn't anything there. There wasn't any outreach. There wasn't any love to them in that way. I want to tell you something. The Lord wants our hearts to be toward all men. Lord, everybody needs your love. And I have a little bit of it to give, and I want to give it this morning. When the flow stops, beware. We can and will become contaminated and selfish. I want to encourage us this morning to cultivate charity. Because we're really talking about charity this morning. Cultivate it. Grow it. Let it grow. Seek the Lord. Not in a way that, Lord, I have to love this person. I mean, I have. But cultivate it. Lord, I want to love them. I want the love that you had for me when I was a sinner. I want to have for them. I want to feel that same way toward them. I want to be willing to give of myself to help them get on track. Is that all right? You know, the Lord wants us to grow charity and add. For if these things be in you and abound, folks, they make you that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the things pertaining to the Lord. You know, the Lord wants us to add this brotherly love and charity and love toward all men. But listen, there's a lot of anger in our world today, isn't there? I don't think I've ever seen so much anger. I've never seen such a thing. If you just don't agree with somebody, they're ready to put you in jail. If you just don't agree with somebody, you need egged. You need something done to you. Folks, anger is from Satan. It's completely destroying. It destroys, and I have seen it destroy homes. And it destroys societies. It'll destroy a congregation. And I don't think that's here. But I just want to tell you, anger is something that we can't ever allow. It's right outside our door. It's all around us. And all we have to do is quit letting the pressure, the love of God flowing through us. Quit letting the stream flow through our life. And I'll tell you what will start feeding back into us. We'll be picking up anger if we're not careful. We'll be picking up resentments if we're not careful. We'll be picking up at malice and unbelief and self-pity and works of the flesh of every kind. I want to tell you, we need to resist those things and know that God has something so much greater and better for our lives. And why should we go around hanging our heads with that kind of stuff hanging on us and in us when we can be full of love? And how can it get better than that? To have a heart full of love, a heart full of forgiveness, a heart full of tenderness toward others from the very depth within, that's because God wants to work in us. So if we're not where we want to be, let's get there. Okay, let's get there. Let's dig. Let's add. Well, how do you think you add? By digging, by going and getting it. It comes from God. That's where it comes from. These things can become toxic and contaminate our life very, very quickly. You ever seen it work real quickly? It can. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. I want to read a few other places this morning. 1 John 4:7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. I want to tell you, those are precious words. Because we live in a society where we're not loved as much as we used to be. Just because you do things honestly and rightly don't mean you're going to get loved nowadays. But we can have love within us because that's who God is this morning. Oh, listen to this in Ephesians 2:2-6. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Did anybody here walk according to the course of the world before they got saved? I think a bunch did. We don't have much to brag on, do we? In time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, to be truthful. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath even as others. That's who we were, isn't it? We're by nature the children of wrath even as others are. So we don't have a lot of anger to throw at people that are acting like we used to, maybe. And so, but God, listen to this. But God, you hear those two words? We used to be, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. You see the difference, folks? You see what God wants to do for you and me, every one of us? And all we're thinking is he wants to put me in a box. That's what the devil more or less told Eve, isn't it? You know, he doesn't want you to be, you're going to be as gods. And God just wants you to stay here and enjoy this perfect place he made for you. He didn't say it quite like that, did he? But that's what he was telling her, deceiving her. And if she could have only known ahead of time what was really going to happen, I don't think she would have done that. Because she lost every good thing she had. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He made us alive with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Tell me that's not beautiful this morning. Here we sit in heavenly places. Here we enjoy the good things of God. Here we enjoy the fellowship. I was talking to someone this morning. Don't we enjoy the fellowship of the people of God? Don't we enjoy this wonderful little treasure carved out in the midst of a world that's full of anger and going back and forth and all those things, and we don't have to be a part of all that at all? The Lord wants our hearts to be pure, to be full of love and tender compassion. And we have something that will change the world as it is. You know, in 1 John 4 and 9, it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. You hear that? God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. You know what? It doesn't matter what happens to us. We can live in the Lord, can't we? Did you know they couldn't take Paul's salvation? They could take his head, but they couldn't take his salvation. They can kill us if God lets them, but they can't take our salvation. They can't take that beautiful thing in our life. They can't keep us from loving them, even while they're doing. I want to tell you, you want your life to be right and full and have a full plate from now on. I want to tell you something. I believe that if we give ourselves fully to the Lord, we might have to fight through some things for a while, but the Lord will establish and settle and strengthen us. And He'll make your life into something beautiful. I believe that. He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Not be deceived, but live. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent His Son to give Himself for our sins. He took our punishment. He was our atonement before God. And now we can be free to be in perfect communion with the God of heaven. God did that because He loved us. And He wants that same love to be in your heart and mine. Folks, there isn't anything like having a heart full of love. It's a beautiful thing. And I want to whet our appetite to have more of it. Not that we don't have it. He just says add to it. Keep growing it. Why should our tree be stunted? Be this big when it can be a big, tall oak that's producing all kinds of acorns. And the Lord bless us this morning. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. That's that positive flow that comes into our life. And now He says, if God loved us, we ought also to love one another. And so He wants to put that in your life and mine. Folks, if our life has anger toward people, if our life has bitternesses, He speaks in Hebrews, He says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. I want to tell you, let's don't let the positive pressure of the love of God down to the point that these things flow into our life. Because there's nothing, because God's not flowing out of it. If God flows out of it, those things don't have a way to flow in. There's pressure coming out this morning. Oh, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. All this morning, God treasures giving us of his Spirit. And he longs for us to come before him and be filled to the brim. He wants our lives. It comes by seeking him. And I will tell you this morning, let our prayers, let our seeking of God be more than not. I know sometimes we come, Lord, help so-and-so, help so-and-so. Help me to have a good day in the Lord. Have your way today. Teach, give me grace for the day. But sometimes we need to be quiet. I believe that. There's times we need to quieten our spirit and say, Lord Jesus, just be in my heart. Just teach me your thoughts and your ways. And show me your ways, Lord. And let your heart just call out to God like that. Let your heart reach out for the eternal God of heaven. Because he wants to be there. He wants to be there in that. If we're full of strife and all those things, folks, let's reach out for the God of heaven to give us those things. I want to tell you what. Selfishness can be manifested in so many ways. And today we see it everywhere, and it's justified. Folks, we should never justify selfishness. We want to only justify that the Lord wants to live in and through us. Selfishness can be manifested through an attitude of a victim. Did you know you've been done wrong? Probably. I have. So what kind of attitude do we have about it? Are we going to allow that great God of heaven to send his stream through us until it blesses everybody, including our harmers, our persecutors, the ones that tell things that aren't true falsely, for Christ's sake, of all the things, for Christ's sake, for a good purpose, they're trying to tear that down. And the Lord doesn't want us to be a victim mentality. Let's remember the two words, but God. So when we start to say something and we know this is not an attitude I should have, but God. God wants to fill my heart with the kind of love that flows out of my mouth and flows out of my actions, and I need to get closer to him. Folks, it comes from God this morning. Don't fall to the victim mentality. It's all around us in the world today. You better believe it, we've been hurt. Lots of people have been hurt. A lot worse than I have. But I want to tell you what takes care of it is forgiveness. Then you can deal with it rationally and truly. Until then, we deal with it out of anger. We deal with it out of emotions. We deal with that out of all kinds of ways. Let's let God be welling up in us a river of life that wells up that same love that he had for us, that while we were yet sinners, offenders, maybe saying there wasn't a God or whatever we were, all of us, he loved us still, didn't he? And he kept on our trail. Oh, the Lord, help us to have the mind of God's Spirit. I just wanted to say a few more words. We can have a mentality that I want to be served. Somehow, I have things coming to me. Folks, if we got what we deserved, we might have death now. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. We might be dead already. Forever. We can't ask others to serve us. Let's turn that around and let the love of God flow out of our life in such a way that we turn into a servant to others. Now, I want to stop just a minute here. Who are you thinking of that needs to do that? Myself? I need to do that. We all need to do that, don't we? the Lord, help us that we turn our lives into, Lord, be in our lives the kind of way that you want to be. And make our lives to shine for the God of heaven. In the midst of a cruel and wicked world, you know, we can want to be served. We can do better, much better when we're giving, folks. Oh, the Lord help us today. God's love wants to flow through us. Love, its nature is to give. The very nature of love. If we have love in our lives, it will be giving. I will guarantee you that. I promise you that. That's what love does this morning. Let's remember, I want to read this one last scripture. This is 1 John 1 and 5. As I've said plenty of times, it's my favorite scripture in the Bible. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. None. You know, the Lord wants our light to be full, our life to be full of light, full of love. Is that possible this morning? Is it possible for our lives to be that way? It's up to you, because that's what God wants it to be. It's up to you and me. Let's ask God into our lives in a deeper way. Lord, fill my life more than ever before. Teach me the ways of godliness. Teach me the ways of brotherly love. Teach me the ways of humility. We all have a lot to learn, don't we? You pray for me as I walk this journey too. Amen.